about the alcoholic, especially the periodic. Here's another thing that goes with this too. Don't ever try to explain your alcoholism to somebody who ain't got it. They're never going to understand it. It's always going to be a question of the misunderstood. They're never going to be able to. Don't waste your time going to these people and trying to explain it. It's just not going to work. But anyhow, here's a bathroom thought about my story. For the next 18 months, with the keys to the NCO club in my pocket, which is an additional duty of mine at that time, I could have had a drink around the clock, went past my nickel, didn't touch a drop. You can imagine what's going on at home, because she had left over from Miami. She's getting all this money, she's getting these letters every day, you know. It happened for 30 days, she said, he's done that before. But then it happened 60 days, 90 days, 6 months, and she's changing, and you can see the letters change. You can hear the hope in the letters. I said, my God, maybe this is the time. Maybe this is the time. Sure enough, that 18 months was over with. I went back to the States and I went to Georgetown, Kentucky. Now, there's nothing in the world in Georgetown, Kentucky, I can assure you. But that's where we lived, and I'd have to get a car and drive over in Fayetteown to even get a drink. And that's what I do. I go around the mornings. This wasn't going to the moment drinking, though. This was just so I'd have somebody to talk to other than a bunch of women in the house. And so I'd sit there and talk to them, tobacco people and racetrack people, and then go on back after a night or so. But imagine how I felt 27 days later when I'm in scraps at Shaw Air Force Base, South Carolina. Carolina. And I stay in scraps for 5 days, 2 weeks in a wheelchair, and another 30 days before they can return me to duty. I was absolutely baffled by this. I've been working out over in Greece, eating good, sleeping good. I couldn't understand it. I hadn't had a drink, and here these few drinks, no real drunks, it didn't seem to me like anyhow, had put me back in scraps again. I thought, my God, how did this happen? I had to come to a room full of drunks to find out. The disease progresses in me whether I drink it or not. And I'm very convinced about today. I don't have any problem with alcohol today. Well, of course, my life in the military continued like that, just one step above the people. And so finally, I was in very serious trouble, and I knew if I didn't do something real quick, like, the man was going to get me. And my mom was readily available, so I volunteered to go to mom, but you see, it took that golden moment with me. It didn't make any difference that there's a war going on. Don't tell me about that. Well, nothing to do with it. There was plenty of booze in mom. There's two things you could get in mom, was booze and steaks. You get all of them you want, and the steaks you could get for nothing. The booze sometimes could cost you a dime a can or something like that for $50 for a bottle of booze. But I ended up in another nut house over there, and the kids that was in there with me, they had some reason to be there. They stared. And Charlie started sending in some stuff, and they just went ape in that room. My God, they're trying to get needles in them kids and jackets on them and one thing and another, you know. And I come to right then. Of course, I ain't been nothing but drunk. And I thought, what in the world am I doing here? In fact, I lied. I said, God, what am I doing in a place like this? And the big major standing there, and he looked down at me, he says, you're here because, by God, you brung here. I thought, oh, God, I haven't got down to this. I've been here with all these screaming nuts and everything. Anyhow, mom's over with. I come home, I only got a short time to do before I retire. And they sent me up to Selfridge Air Force Base in Michigan. But the golden moment is really bothering me now, because when you get that short, nobody expects too much of you. You know, you can pretty well write your own ticket, call the office every now and then, and that sort of thing. And that's where I was. But one morning I went in, and the kids that work for me said, Sergeant, man, I want to see you. I knew this man. I'd worked for him before. He was a man of his word. I'm telling you, he was a jewel of a man for that reason. Everybody depended on this guy, because if he told you to do something, by God, he'd do it. So anyhow, I walk in that morning to the secretary's office. He says, go on in and see him, Mr. Sergeant Oakman. He says, he's waiting for you. And I went in there and threw him away to shake your hand, boy, because I'd just gotten over the jumps. I'd been out since about 2:30 that morning and haven't been to bed since then, and just trying to stay in some kind of shape to show up for work. But anyhow, I just gotten over a jump and I had the shakes real bad, and I threw him this shaky highball, which he didn't seem to appreciate very much, but he started chewing me out. He did a pretty good job of it. He chewed 5 or 10 minutes, and finally he says, Charlie McCoy, why don't you go down there and run that out for years, like Sergeant in the United States Air Force, till the day I relieve your duty. If you don't do it, I'll jerk them damn stripes off your arm and kick you out of this man's airport. If you understand me?" I said, "Yes, Colonel, I understand you." And I threw him a highball and walked out through his secretary's office there, and that gave him a moment, came on, and I got in that truck and drove straight off that base to the bar like that man hadn't spoke to me. Just like that. Like I hadn't even heard the man. I was willing to give 19 years Navy, whatever it was at that time, to drink alcohol. See, the circumstances weren't important as that drink. Not near as important as that drink. So I came down here in Atlanta, I finally got retired, and my wife, that wife divorced me on the 16th day before I retired, or right after I retired, I don't know. But anyhow, I came down here to Orlando, went into one of my, or to Orlando rather, and went into one of my self-imposed sobrieties, you know. I just had to put things together a little bit, sure enough, got a little old job. Work had never been my problem anyhow. Alcohol was my problem, and drinking it. But anyhow, I put a little thing together there, and then had a little old doghouse of place to live, $37 a month, and things would have been all right. But that day the moment came on, you know, I was really fighting this one. I didn't want to drink, you know. I just didn't want to drink. But I made a mistake. I went in this place and shot some pool. And I drank a glass of beer. Just one. The bartender says, "Want another glass of beer?" "No, sir. That's enough for me. And I wanted everybody in the south end of Orlando to hear me." Next morning, got up and broke my arm, patted myself on the back. I had to answer to this damn thing. See, I drank last night. Here I am ready to go to work this morning, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Got it. So you know what I did. I went back. I don't know how long that drunk lasted. The only thing I want to know for sure about that drunk that I can really nail down, this is 9:30 or 10 o'clock in the morning, and I'm right in the center of Orlando. At one of the cross streets, either Central or Jackson or one of those, but right downtown. I'm standing on the curb and tears were pouring down my eyes because there's a stoplight up there. And I can't tell you for the love of God what I'm supposed to do. Where I'm supposed to go up, down, a helicopter's going to come and get me, somebody's going to build a bridge, or the light's going to turn purple. I did not know how to get off of that curb. I was completely immobilized by the fear of extreme alcoholism and that was brought on by extreme alcoholism. Completely immobilized by it. Tears pouring down my face. I woke up in jail, and jail is sometimes a good place for drunks to go, you know. Some people say, "Oh, get him out of jail." I said, "I'll leave him in there. He don't hurt him." But you need them. But anyhow, I came through in the jail, and the guy was in the cell there. He got chatting with him for a minute. He said, "You know how long you've been here?" I said, "No." He said, "You've been here 5 days." I said, "You're kidding me." He said, "Yeah, you've been here 5 days. Since the nurse has been giving me something just to keep you on the edge. Keep it from going over." I said, "Yeah. Yeah." That's where I've gotten to, though. After I thought about that a minute, I was so, not delighted, but a little elated because I was so thankful I hadn't been out on the street in that blackout where I could have really done some harm to somebody. Because I told you, as time can go, I tell you, you go up to Laurel someplace like that and make a lead, have them guys line up all the way around the dining hall or something and shake your hand. Get it in a blackout. Get it in a blackout. Cut her throat in a blackout. Put a gun to her ear in a blackout. Shot my butt. On and on and on. That's why I say, if you're a blackout drinker, you're in a terrible space. But that's where I was at. 5 years gone out, 5 days gone out of my life, I don't even know what happened to it. What a hell of a way to live. I did a strange thing in that jail about that time, when it finally did dawn on me what my circumstances and situation really was. I said, "Pull up and put down yourself, you can drink alcohol. It don't make any difference what you drink, when you drink it, what kind you drink, how much you drink, or anything else. When you drink alcohol, it gets you in trouble, boy. You're in another damn jail. You're supposed to be retired and working and trying to put a little life together here, and you're in another scummy jail. For God's sake, quit telling yourself you can drink alcohol, you can't." And that was started with silently, of course, because I didn't want anybody to know this. I said, "God help me. I never want to be like this again in my life. I don't care what goes down. I never want to be like this again in my life." And some guy walked up that jail cell. I'd never seen him before in my life. And he pointed at me. He didn't point at me, another joker sitting in there. He pointed at me and said, "Would you like to do something about your drinking problem?" I said, yes, sir, I would. I had that moment of truth, if you will. And I said, yes, sir, I would. And silently, I reiterated that prayer. God help me. I never want to be like this again in my life. Two important things happened there. I got another golden moment now that was much more powerful than the one I had before. It was born right there, just as the book says it can sometimes happen. And it's the other thing that the book says will happen to you. Once we're willing to start this road, I've never had to go back to anything like that again. My life has never been like that again. It hasn't always been good, but it has never been like that. I believe till an alcoholic reaches that place, he doesn't need to say those words necessarily, but it has to be in that context. God help me, I don't want to be like this anymore. He's got a nothing sandwich going for him. But once he says that, in his sincerity, in which I believe we have to say it, then this whole spiritual program opens up to him. And that's where it was for me. I listened to that man for 30-some days I built that time. And when I got out, I did what he said. I went to a meeting. This guy was almost an atheist. He resigned and resumed after 26 years. But it brought me the message of hope, and that's what I needed to hear at that time. And this is the thing that sort of frightens me around the rooms today, too. You don't carry that message of being hope to other people. I went to this A1A group right downtown. Charlie and quite a few of you remember, Leo especially, who owned the back porch of that thing for a while. We had a bench study. They still got the bench, believe me, sat on so long. Anyhow, I went to this YNO group downtown and got me a sponsor. And did the usual thing. Tried to work the steps. Because this was a step group. Even though it was a YNO group, it had some powerhouse men in there. Mostly men because of the location. Women wouldn't come down there at night. They'd sometimes come down at noon, but not at night. So it was mostly a male group. But all of them, not all of them, but a lot of them had good long time sobriety, and they knew only one thing, the steps. And that's what this man tried to happen to me. There's two kinds of people in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, winners and whiners. And we'll let you whine for a little while, see? And that's what I was doing when I first got there. You see? Because I'd always wanted to, we'll start from this. The thing is that this program is really and truly all about fulfilling your dreams. And let me tell you this, if you're fairly new to this program. You've done your dreams in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. You've done your jumping dreams in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And you get with this guy we call a sponsor. I know they're dumb. Don't tell me about that. They're all dumb. They're like parents. You have to be 15 or 20 years old before you realize they got some sense. Anyhow, you get this sponsor here, and you go over these dreams. And you throw out that it's not likely to happen. You know, you're not going to be the world's greatest lover and all this stuff. But put anything else on that list you want to. I don't care what it is. Make an honest application of these 12 steps for 1 year, and I guarantee you, these things would have happened. You would have gotten the things on the list, or you would have had some things on the list you really didn't need. You didn't need a Cadillac, you needed a pickup truck. Or you've been given much more than what's on the list. It could happen, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have a dream that hadn't been fulfilled in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I came here, I told you, seventh grade education. If there's anything embarrassed me in my adult life, even drunk, is if you ask me what my formal education was. I couldn't stand that. I'd lie, of course, about it. So I was crying or whining down there at the club one day about this education. I'd done it two or three times. And finally, old Bill, a Harvard grad who was a sort of a gatekeeper of that place down there, but a fine old man. Hey, dummy. He was in trouble. I said, yes, sir. He says, I want you to do something about the school thing or shut up. And I sang the national anthem. I said, but you don't understand. And he says, what don't I understand? I says, I don't have a high school diploma. He says, good, dummy. That's where you get to start from. There's three things you need to always know about an alcoholic when you're working with them. Hold on to these three. He wants to start from where we're in. He's the best in the world at mind reading and fortune telling. And he wants to be rewarded for not robbing the bank. Hold on to them, because those three are always important. They've always got them going for him. When you're talking to them, have them 3 hours up there. So he says, good, Danny, that's where you start. So sure enough, I went down to check on it and took a battery of tests and all that sort of thing. And I wanted to be an art major. I was an art major. I was sort of really waiting. I got out there and found it takes 4 years to get a degree. But I loved the academic world so much, and I had some GI Bill left too. So when I got ready to get my art degree, I changed colleges and worked on some sociology. And so I only 14, 15 miles for a degree in sociology. The dream's been fulfilled. The dream's been fulfilled. I wanted to be an auctioneer. I am an auctioneer. I've been on for some years now. I don't get much anymore except for charades and things like that. But I can do it. The dream's been fulfilled. When I was just a wee tot, because we were poor, we had any kind of vacation, there had to be something that was free. So we ended up on the Kentucky River one summer. There were huge tankers there somewhere. And ate strawberries, cream, and everything else that was readily available. And I remember the nights there especially, because I could sit down on that nice white soft sand that we were on the beach like a fair day, and watch that water, and nobody was hollering at me or beating on me or anything like that, you know, and I could just let it right out with it. God, it was so nice. I says, I'm going to live on the water on these days, have me a big house on the water. That's pretty hard to do, though, when you're sitting on a wine jug and sleeping underneath a damn bridge, you know, but anyhow, that was one of my dreams. And of course, he remained one even in my drunkenness. And now, Bonner and I had been renting a house from a lady, and she sold it. So, anyhow, we had to move. And we'd been taking this lady to meetings with us. And when we were meeting one night, we happened to say that we were going to have to move. And I said, anyway, whatever. But anyhow, she said, well, why don't you see so and so? She wants to sell her place. And the Bonner and me says, because we don't have any money, I just quit feeding the only house I own to her. Another wife out in the open air, so I don't have any money, I don't have any credit, and I don't have any more GI Bill. Alvin says, the winner, I'll check on it. I get Alvin home and says, Alvin, I don't have any credit, any GI Bill, blah, 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 blah. She says, I'll check on it. Alvin went to see the lady, and the lady won a $3,000 bond, it came from somewhere, and as far as the credit went, she wanted to hold the paper. So it wasn't necessary. Always remember this, and I forget it more than anybody I can possibly think of. There's a silent influence in our lives today that perhaps we never recognized before. And when we're about good things and good thoughts, that silent influence goes to work and helps us along the way. Always, always. So sure enough, where do you think the house was at? Sure it was. You don't think that God of my understanding would put you any place else? It was just a small lake, but we had ducks there and plenty of fish, and we raised small ducks and turned them in and raised some birds and one thing and another. But it was too cramped for us. So our family was determined that we moved. And we live in a, it says St. Cloud on the thing, but we live in a place called Marcoussi. And the reason it's marked St. Cloud, they have a zip code. So we live 6-7 miles out of Marcoussi, a wonderful little place. And it had a big barn on it, which we really knew was going to do anything with the birds. And because another one of my dreams was to have antiques. And we've had 3 or 4 shops of antiques and lost money. Again right now. But anyhow, that's another dream that's been fulfilled. But now, one of us determined that we would move to this place. So somebody asked me, he says, well, Bill, don't that sort of bust up your dream? You've always talked about the water, you know, and it being one of your dreams. And I says, yes, but there's 2 things that go with that, you know. One, when you're married, she's got a right to dreams, too. But when we got down there, found out it had a, what they call a cow hole or a bull hole on it. It wasn't very big, about as big as this dance floor or so, but I got my water again, and I turned some ducks loose on it, and the dog rode them and everything, you know. But you know, if you think about that family and all, I was telling you, I thought they was like the Waltons. I was thinking about us, you know. So we moved to this place, 12 and a half acres we got down there. Most of it's in what they call wetland. But the barns weren't nice, except that it's only 7 or 8 years old, but the people that had it abused it. But they abused the house a hell of a lot more, the doors, electricity, the water, you could just go on and on. And so, where do you think we put the money? In the barn. We got a dog, and if you give her a milk bone, she'll take it outside and bury it. I told Alvarna, I said, Alvarna, I've got too many mice down there in the barn from all that bird feed. You know, they just come in out of the woods and just let all that feed on the ground there, right? I said, you ought to get us a cat. She says, I know where there's one, I'll pick it up. I said, okay. She brought the little cat down there, and I'll fix her up a place down there in the barn, the pan and everything, put some food in it, huh? And I noticed one time I went down there, and she had a mouse, but she'd just slap it. She'd get over there, she'd run over and slap it again. I said, what in the heck? Oh, maybe I'm feeding her too much. So I cut back on the feed, see, but I didn't stop that. And finally I got down one time and I rubbed her like that, and she's going to try to reach up and put her hands. She'd been deep clawed. What a marshal. But you bring your dreams to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. Please, and get with that sponsor, and for God's sakes, get a sponsor that's got a sponsor. If you don't, you're listening to two damn fools. I don't call on Charles very often, but I certainly know that he's available there. The thing I mentioned before is that this man that came and talked to me, you know, God graces every one of us. Once we walk through that door of alcoholism, we've been graced by that, but it's extended, it seems like, or enlarged upon, or whatever, we notice it maybe for the first time. But we've been given this little voice. And I don't care whether you've been here for 2 days, and that new man walks through that door, you've got two on him. Shake his hand. Say something to him. Man, I don't know anything about this, but these people seem all right to me. I'm coming back tomorrow. You ought to talk to so-and-so. He's been here a long time. We've all got that little voice, and we need to use it. This guy was working on a safe, one of them wire safes. You don't have one of them little spin thing on it, but all he had was one of them little old pen lights. And so he was holding it up and working on the safe, and all of a sudden he heard a little voice. And the little voice says, Jesus sees you. And what the heck is it? But the little old light wasn't shining out very far, so he went back to work on his safe, and all his little voice says, Jesus doesn't like what you're doing. Still couldn't see anything. Oh, went back to work on it. Says, Jesus will punish you. That stopped him. He walked, took his light and went around the room, and finally got over here, and there was a little old green bird on a perch. And he says, oh, what in the hell could a little old green bird do? But as his light fell away, there was a huge Doberman with his ears raised and his feet flared, and the little boy says, sick him, Jesus. You have that little voice. You have that little voice. And we do need to do it. The book says that, you know, to help others, it doesn't limit us and only alcoholics. We can become better neighbors and we can do a lot of other things along the way. But you know what? In being here these years and gives you a chance to reflect and all, the thing that I really am most concerned about is one of the things that I started with. I'm really concerned about the groups today. I would like to see them be a little more attentive to duty. In fact, if I could, I'd have a slogan printed up by one of my mentors, Ben Franklin, and I'd send it to every group in the country. And it simply said, don't ever try to chase two rabbits with one dog. Huh? Don't ever try to chase two rabbits with one dog. So this has been a good time for me. It's been an exciting time. It's been a rewarding time because you certainly, the dots don't connect from whence I came to this place and this time to spend this wonderful period with y'all. It has. It's been really exciting. Life has been exciting. What's my problem today? I just told you, sometimes I get on drunk.
Sometimes I say, oh, I believe in God, then why don't I believe in the power of Him? That's my problem today. I get a little God every now and then. For gosh sakes, if you don't have one, get a big one. Oh, yeah, he says, don't bring a thimble, bring a bucket. I just seen him fill a bucket up for you. But you see, I go with a thimble every now and then. I think, well, he can't help me with this. This is my problem, not his. It's true there's some things I shouldn't do with God, I believe. I shouldn't send him my junk mail and that sort of thing. I shouldn't just whine to him. I don't think he wants to hear that. As far as prayer goes, I think I can pray in any position, any time I want to, as long as it's sincere and spontaneity. That's the only two things I believe are required of prayer. Spiritual growth can only happen one day. That's through my being willing to change. You can't give it to me. It takes discipline. Something else I don't like. But God is. If you haven't got a God, get a God. Get a big God, get one with a sense of humor. We've been working some antique shows, and we've been using some crate-like affairs to display them. We could put some stuff in and display them. Anyhow, we quit that. I don't know if she does. But anyhow, we quit that. And so I was getting ready to take a load of junk up to Mount Doyle. And all flea market stuff, wasn't antiques. And so I'd already loaded up, and then I looked over and I saw those crates there. And I said, I'm going to put them on. And I looked up and I said, God, I don't want to bring these things home. So sure enough, I stacked them up on the truck, you know, and wheeled on up to Mount Doyle, about 30 miles from Orlando, and wheeled into my space and went around and back and started around the load and busted out laughing. They'd blown off on the way up there. What am I going to tell you? You're the guy with a sense of humor. It has. It's been an exciting time. New dreams and new hopes, of course. If you don't have new dreams and new hopes, don't bother to pray tonight. You ain't got anything to pray about. Always. New dreams and new hopes. God's always in front of me, not behind me. And I think one of the things we're missing in the rooms today, or with people out here come into the rooms today, they say, well, I'm not 60 years old and doing blah, 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 or I'm not a 55-year-old with 2 kids in college and blah, blah, some more of that stuff. That doesn't have anything to do with the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and our recovery program. Our recovery program is about where we can go, not where we have been. That's the whole thing. And your present circumstances be damned. That's not to be taken into this account. He'll take care of that. I don't care if you're 16 years old or 25 years old. He'll take care of these things. That book doesn't need to be rewritten, just reread. So it has. It's been a real exciting time. I've had two or three other things I need to run into here, but I better not because we're getting over time. But I do want you to know that it's been an enjoyable time. I've met an awful lot of people. I think that's one thing you can reflect on as you go back and you get a little older in the program and one thing and another. The friends, if you will become to mean more and more and more. And I'm one of these people that happens to believe, and of course we all have our own thing with this, but as a sponsor, my job is to become obsolete. I am to help you or help them through the steps and give them what knowledge I have and the assistance that I have with those 12 steps. Teaching some of the etiquette, if you will, of AA. So what's that? Well, you don't walk in when the prayer is going on, for one thing. You don't talk while somebody else is talking. There's a lot of things that we could point out to people, which we don't. We don't even tell them the difference between a club and a group anymore. Half of them don't know. But as a sponsor, I believe I'm supposed to become obsolete. You say, well, I've been sponsoring the same guy for 20 years. Good. I've got some of them 14, 16 years too. That's great. But my job is still only to take them through the steps. Whether he remains my friend or not is none of my damn business.
None of my business whatsoever. That's the only thing I have to offer him, really. Now, like I say, if the friendship develops, which it does with a lot of us, fine. But a lot of people think that, when they, again, because we don't explain it to them, when they come in and they get a sponsor, they think they're shackled for life. Oh, no. Uh-uh. No. Only your experience with these pets is what you should offer. If the friendship develops, fine. But that's the thing that becomes so important, I believe, after, as you wind down these years, if you will, when you're going to reflect on the friends and the conversations. Because that's what these pit stops are really and truly all about. My God, some of our mouths don't stop at these things, you know. We're so happy to see people and share experiences and all that. Fantastic. And I hope you all get to a place where you can really see that and enjoy it like it really is. Because that's what it's supposed to be. Tom Schneider, God love him, some of you know him, and he was one of my mentors, helped me a whole bunch when I was first sober. He said the program of Alcoholics Anonymous is like sex. If you ain't enjoying it, you ain't doing it right. And there I was, member number 41, the homebrew master story still in the book and all. So, come and make it an exciting part. Bring your dreams to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and do not listen to the dream killers. Don't listen to the dream killers. You can do it. You've got that new influence on your side. That silent influence which we all chose not to appreciate before. There's a lot of love in my life today. There's a lot of richness in my life today. There's a lot of freedom in my life today. There's the excitement of that new tomorrow. The excitement of God. But do you know, with all the richness, with all the freedom, with all the excitement, with all the love, with the challenge of that new tomorrow, I better remember one thing. It'll all be taken away with a single drink. Thank you.